Great to be here, and it's good to be with the family of God here this morning at Connection Church. Hey, you're right on the brink of changes, right?
Yes.
Change is kind of hard for some of us, isn't it? Change here at Connection. You got a new pastor that's going to be here in the next month. Where's Connection Church going to be next year? Right here? Right here? Bigger, stronger? Amen. 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 You've been through some tough times, haven't you? Some times after Paris's death where families have left and things have been kind of in turmoil a little bit. Things have been tough for you guys. A little bit. So, a new pastor coming. How's that going to change things? How's it going to change? Is he going to fix this church? What's involved in the ministry here? What direction are you going to go? Without a pastor, shepherd, sometimes the flock gets a little bit divided. Betsy and I were on our way to church this morning, and just as we were crossing down Highway 65, there was a big band of sheep, about 1,000 sheep, right? And they were going the same direction we were going, you know? So you know what that means. That means, well, you got to plan on at least 10, 15, 20 more minutes to get where you're going, right? And we were watching this band of sheep, and every now and then, like 10 or 12 of them would just kind of wander off over there, you know? And the shepherd would get his dogs going, woohoo, get those guys, you know? And the dogs would go out there and push them all back together, and this whole band of sheep just going. It was fun. It was fun. And I'm thinking about the body of Christ, you know? You know, and sometimes a few of us get off down the wrong track and we need somebody to coax us back on the right trail, right? Get us down the highway, get us where we're going to go. So God's going to bring a man here. You know, a couple weeks ago I preached a message called, Wake Up! Right? Wake up! I hope you got awake. I hope you woke up to wisdom. I hope you woke up to opportunities, to obedience, woke up to a spirit-filled life. And you were encouraged and exhorted to do that. And then to thankfulness. Start each day with a prayer of thankfulness in your heart. To wake up to all God. And then last week, what was last week? Who are you? Right? And we discovered, God said, that we are chosen, that we are blessed with all spiritual blessings, that we're adopted into the family. He's called us, he chose us, he adopted us into his family. And if we could go on and go on to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, we find that there are probably about 15 more things that we could find out about who we are in Christ. We've got everything we need in the Lord Jesus Christ. So that begs the question. That begs the question, what y'all doing here? What you doing here? What are you doing here this morning? What are you doing? What are you doing? So we're going to find out. We're going to look at what position I play on the team. Since God chose me to be on this team, what position am I playing? What job have I got? What good am I? Where do I fit in God's plan? So we're going to read here in Ephesians chapter 4. Verses 1 through 16. Yesterday I spent about an hour with my phone on YouVersion, I created an event. Right? Okay. So if you've got a U version on your phone, you can go. Let me see if I can do it. It might be there. I hope so. Let's try. So U version. I don't know how many of you have U version. You will. Okay, let's try it. Holy Bible. Go to home. Home. How do you do this, Cody? Go home. Anybody found it yet? Did you? How'd you do it?
Ken, go to more.
What?
More options.
There are four options.
More. With an M.
Okay, if you found it, great. Hey, I can find it in this one. Ephesians chapter 4, right? But if you found it on your phone or your tablet.
Hey, that's awesome.
So let's read Ephesians 4. Chapter 1, we're going to read through verse 16, I think. Yep. A prisoner for the Lord, then. Paul was in prison when he wrote this. I urge you to live a life worthy. King James has a worthy walk. Of the calling you have received, we talked about that, being chosen, being called, being predestined last week. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through a bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit, just as you were called, one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father who's in all, over all, and through all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended into the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who has ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in all knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will be no longer infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming, with all things grow up into him who is the head. That is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Let's pray. Father God, open up our hearts and open up our minds to what you want to say to us today. Lord, teach us by your Spirit. Teach us by your Holy Spirit that he might come in and enlighten our hearts and our lives, that when we go out of here, we'll have a better picture of who we are. In the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Fitting into the body. Point number one, verse 1 of chapter 4. At salvation, God placed you by faith into his work. He chose you, he called you, he redeemed you, he forgave you. You are chosen. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth of the gospel of your salvation, when you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. When you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of heaven, the King of the universe, put his seal on you. He said, you are mine. You are God's. And the promise of that is when you receive Christ to the Holy Spirit, he placed his spirit in you. And that's the seal. That's the proof that you are God's chosen vessel. The Holy Spirit living in you. And now we need to connect to that Holy Spirit and live our lives. It says here in verse 1 that we need to walk worthy of this calling. Here's a special bunch of people. God calls you his saints, his holy ones, because Jesus Christ, through the power of the cross, through the power of the resurrection, forgave you. He made you holy. Holy. Set apart. Set apart ones to do his work. Set apart to be on his team. Holy ones. The Connection Church. Saints. The Grand Junction. Saints. Right? Yeah. All believers, for all time. The New Testament has a lot of metaphors for this team that we're on, right? The metaphors, the family, the bride, the vineyard, the temple, the building, the kingdom, the flock. And what we're going to talk about this morning is the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 34. The word church in the Greek New Testament is ekklesia. The word for church, ekklesia, an assembly of called out ones. In the New Testament sense, it's a gathering of people for a special purpose. Not necessarily a building, not a building. It's not a club. It's not a meeting. But it is believers in Christ. Called out ones. Holy ones. Called out of the world to be on Jesus' team. Ephesians 4:1. As a prisoner of the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. The calling of God, that's the act. John MacArthur, this is a quote from John MacArthur. The act of God's grace by which he invites men to accept by faith the salvation provided by Christ. Being called out, he called you. He called you out of the world. Chosen. Not by good works. Not by all the good stuff that I've done. Not because I'm so special, right? But by God's grace, God says, be reconciled. Get right with God. When you answer God's call, he places you into his body. And the first thing to live a life worthy of this calling is to fit into your body. So what you doing here? Are you fitting in the body? The body illustration, 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 34. 1 Corinthians 12 is a great description of this body that we've got to fit into. And I think I put that on you, version. Did it come up?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Good. The body. You know, the body of Christ, we refer to the universal church. Do you know what the universal church is? The universal church is God's people for all time, for all places. So we're part of that whole body of Christ. The believers in China, we're a part of that body, right? It's also referred to in the New Testament, maybe a location, a geographical location. We're a part of the body of Christ in Grand Junction, right? We're part of the church in Grand Junction. And more importantly, we're a local body of Christ. We're a body of believers. We're a connection church. We are a group of people that God has chosen, God has called out for his particular place in this particular group of people. This is your spiritual body right here on earth. When you align yourself and call yourself the body of Christ, Connection Church. This is your spiritual body. You got a pretty good looking body. I must say. Okay, moving right along. So we're going to look at four principles here from 1 Corinthians 12. Number one, we're dependent on each other, aren't we? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 and 13. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and through all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether we're Jews or Greeks or slave or free, or females or males, or black or white or brown or whatever. We're all given the one Spirit to drink. We're all unified by the power of the Holy Spirit that flows through this place. Because Christ lives in you through the power of the Holy Spirit. And he lives in you and you and you and you. And we're many members, but we're one body. Right? That's what this teaches. The other thing is you can't a body cannot, and its parts, cannot act independently. You are dependent on the other people that are sitting around you. You need to rely on those other people, on those other members, because they're part of the body. You can't be self-sufficient in the body of Christ. You need other believers around you. Right? And it's a place for only born-again believers to be a part, to be the chosen ones here. Next, verses 14 through 17. Now, the body is not made up of many parts, but of one part, right? Made up of many parts. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, what would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, everyone, just as he would have. We're all fitted together in God's body. You know what? In our estimation, from our viewpoint, we see lesser parts of the body, don't we? And from they're the big toes, right? They're the pinky fingers, and they're the appendices, and there are other unseemly parts of the body. We don't want to be. Or, that's not God's perspective, is it? God's perspective is every single part of the body is important. Every single member here has an important function within this local body of believers. every person here. Another point that I get out of here is that we can't be jealous in the body of Christ. There's no room for jealousy in the ministry. Oh, I wish I could speak like Penworth. There's no part for jealousy. Oh, if I could only do this or that. If I could only be a servant like Eddie. Eddie is always in this church doing stuff. If I could only be that way. There is no part. God placed you. He made you a certain part in this body and a certain function to function in this body. There's no place for jealousy in the ministry with Christ. And here's the other part. 1 Corinthians 12, 18 through 24. God designed this body. God designed it. Read with me. But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. Right? If they were all one part, where would the body be? And as there are many parts but one body. That is so important. God has a purpose for every single one of you. And there is a place in the body here at Cornerstone Christian Church for you. And the body of Christ in Grand Junction, Colorado, there's a place for you. In the body of Christ in the universal church, you have a place. Now, here's where it gets pretty tricky. Caring and concern for the body. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 25 through 27. So that there should be no division in the body, but the parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Parts of the body care for each other. They don't function independently. They are concerned. Do you poke your eyes out? Do you kick yourself? No. You care for your body. You're on a diet. Well, no. But you do. You eat. You feed your body. You take care of your body. You're concerned about your body. And that's what Christ is saying here. You need to concern yourself with the person and the people that are within. You need to care about them with loving concern. So, what you doing here? What are you doing here? Have you found that place where you fit? Start looking for it. Start looking for it. Strive for unity in the body. Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 6. This horizontal unity, and also it applies to vertical unity with God the Father. The three-way triangle, horizontal, the Father, you and me, their relationship with God. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling for which you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called, to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all, one. 1-1-1. Did you hear that? We're one in Christ. We aren't divided. Unity. Man, that's a hard thing to keep in the church.
Well, they just don't do it the way they should.
Right? They should do it my way. I'm right. They need to do it my way. They should. I think he or she should. Fill in the blank.
Well, you know what? They use the NIV Bible, and I think that the King James Version is the only authorized version that should be used. So I'm going somewhere else.
Or the music's too loud, the music's too soft, or they only do 7-11 songs at that church. They have 7 words and they sing them 11 times. And on and on and on. What does it take to get along? What does it look like? It's right here. Be completely humble and gentle and patient, bearing one another in love. Yikes! If you want to have a humble life, if you want to walk, it's humility. Do you understand what humility is? Look at Romans 12, verse 3. For by grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each one of you. Gentleness. I said that loud. Gentleness. Versus harsh rebuke. I can say that. Right? Patience versus frustration. Showing forbearance. Because you love other people, you need to allow space for them, right? For their faults. You know, everybody's perfect until you get to know them. Right? We're all quirky. We've all got these quirks. You gotta let people have space because there's no perfect people. You gotta keep your eyes on Christ. He's the perfect one. Not her. I pointed at my wife. She can do it. Boy, that's hard, isn't it? Christ died for you. Not because you were so great and perfect and you had all the right answers, but out of grace he died for you. You're not worth it. Is he patient with you? He loves you. He loves you no matter what. Shouldn't we also extend that forbearance to the other parts of our body? Not try to get our way, but to get God's way. Confess your sinfulness. Humble yourself before the God of the universe and your brothers and sisters. We're urged here to strive for unity. Philippians 2, verses 3 through 4. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but rather in humility value others above yourselves, not looking out for your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others. That's humility, right? When we're looking out for each other and not just me, 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 what I want, what my pride wants. The elements of our faith, we read, that we must be one with each other. There is one body, one spirit. You are called to one hope, when you were called one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God the Father, who is over all and through all and in all. Have you ever canoed? Yeah? Two people in a canoe. What happens when the guy in the front is paddling forward and the guy in the back is paddling back? What happened? You don't know, right? You don't know. Okay. Now what happens when you're in that canoe and the guy in the front is paddling on the left side and the guy in the back is paddling on the right side? Backwards. In the front. What happened? You go around in circles, right? You know, the church should be a place where we're all coming together and rowing the same direction. That's unity of spirit, and we need to strive for that according to this passage. God wants not to divide us on the minutiae, arguing about this or that of minor doctrinal points, but major on the major and minor on the minors, and give space. Strive for unity. So what you doing here? What are you doing? Are you preserving unity? Are you working to unify the body of Christ? What's your focus in the body? Verses 12 through 16. Then we, here we go. To prepare God's people for the works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity of faith in the knowledge of the Son of God. Let me back up here a little bit. How are we functioning in the body? I skipped a section here. Verses 7 through 11. But to each one of us grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does it mean he ascended, except that he also descended to the lower parts and regions of the world? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors, some to be teachers. He gave you a gift. Are you looking for it? Do you know what your gift is? Have you found your gift? He gives grace to each one. It's not that you earn it, but it's by his special gift to you. He gives you a gift. A gift. You're gifted. Here are some of those gifts, right? Pastors, prophets, evangelists. There are a bunch of other gifts in the New Testament, right? Gifts of serving, gifts of helping, gifts. Lots of gifts. You all have gifts. God gave it to you. We won't get off down the rabbit trail that Paul went to here when he ascended on high. If you want to talk to me about that after church, we're running out of time. So I'll be glad to talk to you about what this means. But for us right now, his gifts, he's positioned you in the body to be a helping hand, to be a mouthpiece, to be a teacher, to help do the things in the church that need to be done. Serving, helping, giving, leading, evangelism. If he's given you a place, if he's made you a big toe, you better be the biggest toe you can be in God's church, right? You need to use that gift for God's glory. You need to find out what those gifts are, and you need to fit right in. You know, our churches, there are plenty of jobs for you to do here at Connection Church. There, and churches, about 10% of the body do 90% of the work in churches. And it's important that you find that place, find that gift, and fit in and use that gift for God's glory. So what you doing? Have you found your gift? Are you using it? What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? What's your focus in the body? Verses 12 through 16. What's your focus? To prepare God's people for the work of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Maturity in Christ is your focus. Maturity is what you use your gifts for. Equipping the saints, it says in King James Version. To prepare God's people, it says here in the NIV. The concept here is to do whatever it takes to bring people along, to bring people to maturity. And what is maturity? How do you do that? Healing broken lives through faith, through prayer, through counseling, through caring for one another, helping people discover their gifts, building people up in love, welcoming strangers, visiting the sick and the homebound, exhorting others, rebuking, counseling, training, teaching God's word, taking care of the families and the people whom God brings into your life, taking care of this building so that people have a place to meet, worshiping God, leading us into worship, leading us into God's presence. Make time for others. You don't have time. I'm too busy. Gotta work. Gotta make a living. Gotta do this. Gotta do that. Gotta go skiing. Gotta go snowmobiling. What's really important? What is really important? Building the kingdom of God. Helping others mature. And what are the results? Verses 13 and 14. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. What are those marks of mature believers? Unity, the knowledge and the fullness of Christ. Not deceived by false teachers. There's all kinds of junk out there, isn't there? When you're mature, you know that. Look, you know the tenets of the faith. You know Scripture. Because you've been a part of the body. You've been taught. You've been maturing in Christ. Speaking truth in love. When we're mature, we're able to speak that truth in love. In humility of heart and mind. When we're mature in Christ, we're growing and maturing. We're becoming more and more like Jesus Christ every day. You know, the church is a place, it's a hospital. And it's also physical therapy, right? It's a place where the wounded are healed and not shot. How many churches have you been in where the shoot the sheep
and they never come back. How many churches have you been in or fighting churches? Oh, it's ugly. It's ugly. God wants us to be a mature place, a training place for battle, so that we can go out in the world tomorrow and we can make a difference for Christ. A training place, a healing place, a proper working of the Bible of Christ. We all want to be healthy. And we all want to be a part of a place where it's healthy and growing and maturing, don't we? We all want to fit into that place. And you know what? This new pastor that's coming, he can't do it all. I'm sorry. He can be a shepherd. He can help you go along with the band. He can teach. You've got to do your part. What you doing here? What are you doing here? God needs you to fill your place and to be the best big toe you can, or the mouthpiece, or the eye, or the hands, or the feet. Fit into the body, fit into your body. Commit yourself to unity, to fidelity of the body. Function in the body. Focus on your purpose in the body of Christ. Shall we pray? Yeah. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Connection Church. I thank you, God, for bringing these people together for service, to build up the kingdom of God to maturity. Lord, may we learn to love and to nurture and to care for each other. To do our part in the body. To be the ones. Lord, convict us. Show us our gifts. Show us how we fit in here at Connection Church. Lord, we commit ourselves to your work, to the kingdom of God. Lord, lead us, we pray. Encourage us by your Spirit. For it's in the precious, wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen.